Hello everyone. Today we're going to be talking about mental health in the workplace. Quite a serious topic, and today I am going to be joined by my colleagues, and they know how it goes. They will introduce themselves.
Thank you so much, Mandla. My name is Denisha September. I am a registered counselor slash person that works in marketing. and I'm so happy to be able to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Oh.
Thank you for having me again here. My name is Alex Bodardo. I'm a registered counselor here at the company. And I do love having these conversations.
Oh, and the host himself. I am Mandla Sekubutu, and today we're going to take a dive, like I said, with this mental health in the workplace. So my first question would be, what are the challenges that employees face in the workplace when it comes to mental health?
Yeah, I think if it's fine, if I can go. So there's quite a lot of challenges, I mean, especially in the South African context, because, you know, it's our immediate environment that employees face on a day-to-day basis. I think the most prominent challenges that employees might face is dealing with mental health conditions that aren't necessarily commercialized, like I like to say, or normalized in the work environment. So you get mental health conditions such as depression, anxiety, and OCD, for example. That's like, oh, you know, we can deal with that. We, you know, that's fine. But, you know, throw in mental health conditions like bipolar disorder or schizophrenia and
extreme personality disorders.
Or extreme personality disorders, and people start to, you know, just like, and we often forget that we're human. As much as we're employees, we're not machines. We do go through the most. So I think the biggest challenges would have to be that.
I'd also say it's something that we tend to forget in a South African context, because obviously it's what we experience, we're not really exposed to anything else, is that we do live in the most unequal nation on the entire planet. Yeah. Now, that's not a bragging, right? That's a terrible thing. But that does come with very serious socioeconomic challenges. And that's the one thing that no one wants to talk about, because it's kind of like that elephant in the room that has sort of become, you know, the drumbeat to our, you know, head nodding while we're just listening to life as we're going along. So it's good to keep that into mind. A lot of this can be a fuel for conditions like generalized anxiety would be a big one. When you have to worry about, you know, putting food on the table, how to get to work, petrol costs, taxes, whatever the case may be. It's just pressure after pressure after pressure. May cause something that you may already have or suffer to be a lot worse. So just keep in mind that environmental context.
Righty.
No, I definitely agree. And I think just a follow-up question, you know, with the whole question about challenges, is I kind of want to find out from you guys, you know, being employees and being in the mental health field, what are some of the conflicting perspectives or biases that just get in the way of employees seeking assistance, especially with issues that affect their mental health or even their help-seeking behaviors? So I can make an example. You know, there's always this constant fear or bias against people who have mental health conditions because you're not sure if they'll be able to be productive or that's complete great. Their work. You know what I mean? It's almost seen as a disability. and so I kind of wanted to find out from you guys, you know, from your experience, what perspectives or biases are out there that are currently blocking people from seeking help?
Well, that can be a bit of an interesting one, because, again, if we're talking about pressures that people face, we also have to talk about power dynamics within a working relationship or corporate environment.
All right.
And some people aren't in a position to really bargain something that should be considered more normal, you know. So then there comes the expectation that sometimes a hesitancy comes, at least some what I've seen in some of my clients, is that they don't want to admit to something, or they don't want to dig in deep because they feel, one, it can be used against them, or the fact that they're seeing someone is already seen as some kind of corporate political weakness, and it's already seen as a stigma around that, and that just makes it worse in many cases, because they're not addressing a problem that is building and building until eventually everything just crashes. And sometimes we get people like that who've just full on burnt out and crashed. So we see it from different angles. The hesitancy, the results, And it sometimes is not pretty when it comes to these things.
And I have another question to ask. So say, for instance, if somebody's working retail, you know, I know that in a space like that, in the experience that I've had, where you know that you could be easily replaced, you know?
I don't know.
I know that people have that fear, but don't understand, like, maybe would not take it serious enough to take care of their mental health because they have this ongoing fear that hey, you could be replaced tomorrow. You understand? So how would then, as an employer, how would one see if somebody needs maybe help in that?
That's an interesting one, because there's a very fine line to be drawn with this, because this really depends on the, you want to call it the ethical guidelines in which a business operates on, the vision in which is directed, because this often depends on, because in order for someone to feel safe enough to come forth and ask for help, they need to also somehow separate that problem with their identity. What part of me is the problem? And if I don't speak about the problem, how much of the company's woes have I taken on as a part of who I see myself to be? And those are two different things.
Okay.
Because you are not the company and the company is not you.
Great.
You know, it's a mutually beneficial relationship, ideally, obviously.
I think I understand your sentiment, Alex. It really boils down to management. Like you mentioned, what is the vision of the company? Are we there not to just produce a product, but to care about our employees? Because we know that if we value our employees, that it's going to boost our product or our services. It's, you know, it has this direct impact on what we sell. And if you're working for a company that's all about sales and not necessarily about the people, you're going to be faced with all of these issues where if you come into the workplace and you're struggling with a mental health condition, you're going to be replaceable. You know, they're not really worried about you. And so I think it's not necessarily the employee's responsibility in this case. You know, it's more so management and the people that sort of oversee employees to sit down and be like, you know what? This is a human being.
Okay. But then can I add with that? Okay, I hear what you're saying. But like, for instance, as an employer, like you said in sales, I can understand in your profession, it would be easier to spot if somebody would need help. But now we're talking about, like you said, in sales, this employer doesn't have the experience in the field that you're in. Obviously, they cannot obviously go around pinpointing, hey, you have a mental issue, you need help, because there's also serious consequences to just pointing out, and I think so and so has a mental issue. How does one then go about, you know, addressing things like that? Like, for instance, if I had to put myself in the situation and I had to be like, okay, I'm managing so and so, and I feel like maybe this one does need help.
I think, when, like I was trying to say earlier, in to get to the balancing act, I like to think of it, if we're going to put it into business words, investing in your own company. Sometimes it's a shorter sacrifice in the beginning for more consistent long-term gains.
Okay.
So it's more of a case of, yes, you can't just attend to every single thing. You have to use context very well in the situation. But you have to understand that you're working with humans.
Okay.
Yourself, as an employer and employee. And it has to be built on that understanding. If you are aware, if it's a safe enough space to this for it to be flown, I mean, to flow,
okay,
people will feel comfortable and want to contribute more to said enterprise.
Okay.
It's got to be a mutual understanding that this is actually an investment for long-term prosperity. Not just, you know, quick high turns and move on and we move on to the next thing.
That's
kind
true,
of like like a fire that just, you know, burns down the felt and finds the next biggest pile of ash to burn, or, you know, tinder to burn.
Okay.
That's the way to sort of look about it. You got to see what's the long term, you know, maybe we burn a little bit here so we don't avoid burning down the whole forest.
All right.
If that makes sense.
No, it does make sense.
That's the best way I can try put it into words, that we can balance business and vision, if I can put it in that sense. because I know not everyone, we work on different terminology. We're working more from the ethical point of view, the point of view of the client. Whether it's an employee, manager, middle management, or, you know, or CEO, for example.
Okay.
So that's where we have to, take each context into consideration.
Okay. And then I've got one last question for you, right? What is the taboo mental illness that poses a serious risk when it comes to employment?
Yeah. So I think any sort of mental health illness or condition that influences or just impacts your functioning, your day-to-day functioning.
Okay.
But the reason why I say or why I think people say taboo is because, like I said, it's not commercialized. So people are not aware that, you know, mental health conditions go beyond just depression and anxiety. There's so much more to it. But it doesn't mean that just because your employee is coming in and they've got OCD or they've been diagnosed with bipolar disorder that they're not able to function in their jobs. They're more than able to function. I think we've reached a point in the 21st century where we had the privilege of research and medication and treatment that can help people function on their day-to-day, even with the mental health conditions that they've been diagnosed with. So I think the taboo is more a social norm than anything else, because according to science and psychology, we've already demystified all of these taboos, but it's very hard for the public to just accept that it's just a taboo and nothing else.
It's also about trying to get the best strength out of people's unique gifts. Because yes, these conditions may put them in a certain mind space that makes it difficult to work with others, for example. Mm-hmm. Some personality conditions, or even people on the autism spectrum. It's about getting the best out of what they accrue, because they come with different strengths. So it's also about seeing what potential value can this person provide. Maybe not in a conventional sense,
okay,
like your average Joe is okay able to do. So it's also trying to see the value that they can add from a different angle. You know,
great,
maybe not in this spot, but over there, they can definitely bring us something value that can bring our upline more or work our foundation better.
Okay.
And I think the taboo goes deeper than just the mental health conditions. It's the treatment behind it. It's the idea of psychotherapy and what it looks like. So a lot of people have this vision of what therapy looks like, and they envision a couch and a person, and you just get to sit there and talk about your problems all day. You know, to be vulnerable. And I mean, I'm telling you now, corporate and vulnerability, they don't really gel well. You know, there's no space for vulnerability. There's no space for that kind of empathy in the workplace. And so it's important that, you know, when we speak about taboo mental illnesses that pose these serious risks when it comes to employment, that we demystify first. We normalize and we accept. I think that's the biggest part, acceptance, that this is how it is, but it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with it. We all, and this is going to sound very controversial, but at some point in our lives, we might have gone through a phase of experiencing mental health conditions or symptoms, maybe not, you know, enough to be diagnosed, but we have definitely experienced stress, anxiety, panic in our lifetime. So to say that, you know, it's not normal for somebody else to come into the workplace with a mental health condition is so wrong. You know, it's like throwing stones at a glass house. Like, who are you to do that? You've been through the exact same thing. But yeah.
Just to add one more thing onto that. We don't know what potential we might be cutting off if by not taking this into account. We don't know what benefit we might gain by actually giving the space for this to change the workplace. Like everything, through progress, our social development and science says it goes through stages. We grow, we learn, we readjust. It's the same thing. We're doing the same thing we've done when we thought we were doing something new 200 years ago. Same thing. So that's all. We don't know what we might be spiting ourselves by cutting off and saying this is not an important issue. That's just the point I wanted to, you know, throw in there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, Alex. And then I think, I really hope the listeners are, listening and enjoying this discussion, because it's so important to have. I think if you are in an environment, whether it's work, whether it's at home, doesn't matter, where there's still topics that are taboo or, unreachable because you're scared of what people might think or, fearing rejection, perhaps this is your encouragement to start. And to
doesn't matter how long it's taken.
Doesn't matter how long
it's
taken.
As long as it starts.
As long as it starts, it's time. Mm. It's time for us to unpack this and explore mental health in the workplace. And I'm so happy that you guys managed to join us for this podcast.
It's a pleasure.
Definitely, enjoyed this discussion. Thank you so much, everybody. I enjoy the rest of the series. We had a great time. Thank you so much, everybody. That is a wrap.